Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Bismack Biyombo on the Technicom Hotline. Bismack, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. How are you guys doing?
What's going on, Biz?
We're
doing great,
all
man.
All right. How are you doing? How are you feeling since the season ended?
Feeling good, man. I took some time to rest, and now it's time to get back to work. So, no complaints, man. We had enough rest.
That's absolutely.
Focus on getting better for next season.
Absolutely. So, one of the big storylines, Biz, this year was your reported bromance with LaMelo Ball. And
Bismelo. Bismelo is what we called it.
What'd you say?
Who said I liked him?
He said, I liked the little fella?
So we on the show, we threw out a couple names for that friendship, frenemies, you know, enemies, whatever you want to call it. And I wanted to get your quick opinion on this. We had LaBizlo, we had Bismelo, or LaMac. Which one do you think best fits the friendship, enemieship of Bismack Biyombo and LaMelo Ball?
LaMac sounds like Bismack, so I think that would be aligned pretty good with me.
Hey, Biz, Stan Fleet here, man. Let me ask you, your relationship with LaMelo, and really outside of the relationship, when you think back over his season, we know he missed time with the fracture in the wrist-thumb area.
Right.
How do you evaluate how he actually performed and how he handled being in this weird environment, dealing with COVID and all of that as a rookie, number three overall?
I think overall in the season one, I think a lot of people that include their organization were surprised by his performance. And I think include a lot of the teammates because of the way he handled himself and carried himself. But you can kind of tell, like, you know, for kids like him, when you go pro at an early age, it's a lot of responsibility that to learn how to handle certain things, certain ways. And then when you get to the NBA, it's an easier transition. But I thought, you know, the kids obviously prove a lot of people how great he could be and the potential that he has. So, you know, for me, just observing, you know, whether it's on the floor, just being around him, I think he has a potential to be one of the greatest, you know, to play his position just because of the way he played the game, carried himself. And for kids like him, you put in a position to run a whole team. That's a lot of pressure. And being able to deliver because it was such a high pick. So, you know, he handled himself very well. Obviously, his dad, you know, and his mom have done a tremendous job on educating him and raising him and giving him a lot of value. And it, you know, like I said, it's fun to be around him. He's a very respectful kid, which you don't find out a lot nowadays. You know?
Bismack Biyombo, Hornets center, joining us on the Technicom Hotline here. There's a lot we want to get into, but just keeping it on LaMelo for a second. I was one of the people who didn't know what to expect. I can admit that, Biz. I was wrong on LaMelo. But you kind of mentioned that you know, you guys weren't sure what you were getting in LaMelo, or the organization wasn't sure. When did you realize LaMelo could be special?
I think for me, it's probably early in the preseason. When we played in the preseason, we were playing the Toronto Raptors game. Obviously, I was in the second unit, and he was in the second unit. And, you know, we played, I think it was one of our first games. We played great. You know, the kids had 10 assists, 0 points, right? So when the coach made the sub, he was sitting next to me. And I think at some point we went up, and then we were just talking on the bench. So I say, you know, just got to keep your head in the game all day. He said, you know, I really don't care if we're winning or losing. I mean, I really don't care if we're winning as long as everybody is happy, and I really don't care about scoring, you know. I just care about winning. So if, you know, if we're winning and my numbers don't look good, That's the least thing I worry about. I was like, huh, interesting. So then the next game, I think he had like 10 points. I don't know how many rebounds and how many assists. So we're just talking again, and just the things that he says along the line, I think that separated him for a lot of young guys, because, you know, young guys, when they come in the league, I got to get my numbers. But it's hard nowadays to find somebody that just care about winning. And obviously he does care about winning more than anything. So I was like, shoot, like, the kids really think different. He has a different approach to the game, you know. And from there, I was like, every time somebody that I've been around that care about winning and will do whatever it takes to win, they always turn out to be great in most of the teams that I've been. So to me, it was just an excitement of seeing that. But obviously, you know, before you meet somebody, you always, you know, hear people's opinion, what they got to say. And you read the media, what the media say. You know, I never read the media about the kids. I never, you know, have an opinion on the kids. It was like, yeah, when I meet him, I meet him. And obviously, we turn out, you know, our relationship turned out to be whatever it is. But, you know, it's not like anybody actually planning on it. Like, hey, you know, this is how their relationship is going to be. We just, you know, hey, we show up, we're going to play, we're going to compete, and that'll be that. Obviously, the leadership position that I was put in and that I'm in, that kind of help a lot in the way that you approach everybody and talk to everybody.
That's the voice of Hornets center, soon-to-be free agent Bismack Biyombo, joining Nick and Stan here in the afternoons on Sports Radio FNZ, flagship for your Charlotte Hornets. Biz, you spoke just then a lot about, you know, you and LaMelo being in the lineup, the relationship, and ultimate, you know, wins and losses. And we've had JB. JB's our boy. You know, he's been on our show. We've talked about it. But I have to ask you, because you're the first player I've asked about it.
Mm-hmm.
In that play-in game in Indianapolis, Bismack, what the hell was that? I need to know what was going on out there.
So, no. I'm gonna tell you. You know, when you do compete in and that was a great experience for our young guys, because when you do compete in a regular season game, you know, you have a B plan to win a game. Well, a playoff game, you need an A, B, C, D game plan in order for you to win, because the other team got about the scout report of the whole team. Your plays, they know how you guys move, why everybody do good and why everybody do bad. And that includes the coach himself. They watch a lot of film. So for our young guys, they've never been in that position. And then the physicality level increased, you know, the focus level increased. Like, you got to know what time of the game you can break the rhythm of the other team if they're on the run. Like, it's all the little tricks that come to it, rather it's a hard foul, rather it's taking a technical foul, like causing some type of interaction. So it's a lot of roles that play within us being in that position, and a lot of our young guys haven't been there. So it's good that they got to experience that. So as you go and watch the playoffs, you can start seeing the good teams, you know, versus the great teams, what separate them. And for us, you know, we can't go on and expect that, you know, this is what we do in the regular season is going to work. No, everything changes in the playoffs. Everything shifts. Like, the same defense you play in the regular season is not the same defense you're going to play in the playoffs. So the same guy you guarded and some of the guys that you never guarded are the guys that are going to come off the bench and kill you. And we play some of the guys that we never play, and that's the whole playoff. You got to know 1 to 15 players or 1 to 17 players now. So that comes with experience. And I think it was good that our young guys got a taste of that. And, excuse me, like I said on the exit interview, like, well, what's going to make a difference between the team this year and next year, or even as a player? You're going to take that game, you put it on TV. You got to watch it over and over and over and over and over. Because, to be quite honest, we all got embarrassed. And that includes all of us that was on that team, from coaches to players. We got embarrassed. But obviously, as players, we have to get out there and perform. And we did not perform. We weren't ready for that. So now, going into summertime, you got to sit down and ask yourself, when it comes down to the exact same time, are you going to be ready for it? you know, that means taking care of your body, doing all this right thing now during the regular season. Because the playoff, like I said, is a different beast. And, you know, I've been in it, I've lived it, and I know when the pressure rises, that's where it's fun. You got to enjoy it.
Bismack, do you think
that's answering your question. What the hell is that?
Yeah, and you did. Thank you. Because we were embarrassed too, but you still my man. Go ahead.
Yeah. But it's good. It's good. You have to be in that position so you know, when next year comes, you can feel good about having, you know, success. So,
no doubt about it.
Absolutely. Biz, when you look at the way the second half of the season went with all the injuries there, did the NBA make a mistake with how they scheduled the second half with so many games and such little time and with such little practice time?
I mean, to be honest, man, I think it's the roughest season. It reminded me of the lockout here, just the scheduling, how brutal that was. But at the same time, you know, I think, you know, a lot of sacrifice has to be made going into the bubble. I think going into this season, we all had to find some way to adjust to it. You know, I love going back to the gym and just working out at night. And then I remember one time I called my agent and I said, I'm about to start going back in the gym because of the second half of the season. First response was, man, take care of your body first before you go back into the gym. So, and the amount of games we were playing, man, it was crazy. We only had 2 days that were kind of off for the second half of the season, so it was hard to rest. Like, we were on the road most of the time, and the amount of back-to-backs, so the rest time was less, but I think, you know, it's a sacrifice that, as players, when we agreed to this, to come into this season, we all understood what it was going to take, and also allowing us to get back to our normal schedule next year. Because if the season was pushed, then next season is pushed, we always have to play catch up. And for us now, you know, at least it would give us an opportunity to get back into our regular schedule next year, so we don't have to compete with other leagues. And obviously, you know, we have our own schedule. Other leagues have their own schedule, but we got to stick to our schedule if we want to make, you know, the business side of basketball continue to work so players can get paid and all these, you know, things. I mean, obviously, sponsors, you got to keep them happy. The TVs, got to keep them happy. So it's a lot of things that kind of played a role in, you know, the decision. But I think, you know, what was done is what has to be done. We are going a different way about it. I think, yes. But at the same time, as players, I'm a VP in the Players Association, represent player. I talk on the behalf of the players. So we shared this with players, and players had to agree with it in order for us to move forward. There's nothing that players don't agree that we force to move forward. We always go to players. We put the deal on the table. All players have to vote for it. And as all players vote for it, then we proceed. So we all voted for it. And we took the risk going into this season. So I think we all understood the risk that was in front of us. But obviously, you know, it's always sad to see players go down. But also, you have COVID that play a big role in it. So there's things that you couldn't control. Like last 2 weeks of the season, we lost Miles. If we had him, could we have been in a better position? Probably so. Like injuries, we lost Gordon Hayward. You know, if we had him, could things be different? I think so. But there's things we can control and there's things we cannot control.
Bismack Biyombo on the Technicom hotline here with Nick and Stan, talking about the Hornets season. But you're also on, Biz, to talk about the Bismack Biyombo Foundation and how you're helping out in the Congo. So can you talk about what has happened in the Congo and exactly what the Bismack Biyombo Foundation, with that GoFundMe, which people can find at WFNZ on Twitter,
yes,
and what you guys are doing out there?
So we thank you so much for bringing this up. You know, we had one of our active volcanoes that I actually hiked and climbed myself when I went home probably 4 years ago. So we got an eruption on May 22nd, and it wiped out half of the city where where I built one of my schools, and over 500,000, I mean, they're still doing the count. It's probably close to a million now that were forced to evacuate because the volcano, you know, destroyed their homes and businesses and all the livelihood. So we have a lot of people that are homeless right now. They don't, you know, they don't have home. They are jobless, obviously. A lot of kids weren't separated because people was just running in a different direction. And also, there were no warning that the volcano was going to erupt. So people weren't prepared for it because the funds that was put into watching over the volcano and the eruption and the climate change and all these things were pulled away from, you know, from the city. So therefore, people was not prepared. And then once it erupted, you know, a lot of kids have had to evacuate and their families and all that. So now what we're kind of doing, like, look, we, you know, I know in the world a lot of things is happening. And, you know, out there, there's millions of people doing good. And I think these people needed my help and they needed whoever is listening to it is help. Because, you know, in the end, we are humans. We are connected in some ways. And I know probably certain people will never meet these people. I'm never going to meet everybody that I'm helping. But I at least know it's the right thing to do. Just to give some of these kids, whether it's water, whether it's food that they need, whether it's clothes, whether it's figure a way to rebuild their homes. So that's why I was just sitting around and trying to figure out how and which were the way that we could help. So we kind of decided to raise as much money as we can. And that's why we created the GoFundMe. And then just starting the campaign, obviously my teammates, they've been very supportive and they continue to be. And people and friends that I know. So, and thank you guys actually for, you know, for giving me and giving my foundation and supporting my people while we're dealing with this. Hopefully things will be back to normal in a few years.
Absolutely. You guys can find out more on the BiomboFoundation.org. But how can so beyond just BiomboFoundation.org, Biz, is there anything else that people can do to help get funds and support to the Bismack Biombo Foundation?
Yes, they could go to BismackBiombo.org to donate, or they can go to the GoFundMe, which is, you know, you guys have the link. And they could donate there. Obviously, when we start our work, we'll be posting all the updates just so people can see you know, how a collective effort is making an impact. But also myself, I'm going home on July 16th, so we can continue to do the work that I've had the desire to do. And hopefully, you know, by then we can raise just enough money to be able to help these people.
Bismack, safe travels when you do go home. Thank you. Thank you for sharing the story of your home country and the struggle that you guys have gone through. Thank you for your time. We really do appreciate your time, Biz. You've been such a joy with LaMelo to watch this year. And, you know, best of luck in free agency as well.
Don't worry, man. I keep slapping him every time I see it.
Appreciate you, Biz, man.
Just please don't slap me, man. I couldn't take it.
Hey, babe, Biz, tell Yanni I said what's up. When you see my man Yanni Couture, tell him I said hello.
I will, man. Much love.
All right, bro.
Bismack Biombo there on the Technicom hotline.
Yanni's my suit man. That's my tail. I got to make sure my man Yanni's straight.
Yeah, listen. You can name drop with just
me. I have connection with the community.
I'm going to need you to roll back the name dropping when an actual NBA center who's made $70 million in his career.
Don't stay out of his pockets. Damn it. We had this conversation at least three times a week.
By the way, if you guys wanted to go ahead and help out there at WFNZ, we have tweeted out the GoFundMe link for the Bismack Biombo Foundation. Great stuff with Biz there. When we come back, we're going to react to the latest in the NBA playoffs on Sports Radio FNZ.